even if God never did another good thing in our lives, we could spend the rest of our lives praising God for what God has already done. Has God restored you? Has God brought you? Has God been loud in your lives? Has God been soft and tender to you? Are you happy with what God has done? Are you happy knowing that God can do? Do you know God's peace? Does God have peace in your heart? Praise God. You can find God in giving and in the healing. You can find God in the waiting, and knowing that God is in your life and has been providing. Want to credit coincidence? No. And that's just God confused for an office. God cares about you. God hears you. God intercedes for you. Praise God. How should we praise God? We simply say who God is. God is all-powerful, and there are no limits on what God can do. God is omniscient. He has total and perfect knowledge of the past, the present, and all future events, including every human thought and action. God is omnipresent. God is present everywhere at the same time. God is holy. God is completely pure, sacred, and separate from sin. God is eternal. God has no beginning and no end. God is everlasting, from forever to forever. God is immutable. God never changes character and is absolute truth. God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. God is good to all, and God's mercy is over all that God has made. And God made everything. God is love. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. That's from John 4:16. God shows deep, unconditional, and caring devotion to all his creation. All are God's creation. Nothing is too hard for God. We have nothing without God. We would be nothing if not for God. God made our world, our reality, ourselves. God sent God's Son, Jesus, who saved us from sin and leads us on a path of goodness and righteousness. The late Christian writer Brennan Manning wrote, "All that is good is ours, not by right, but by the sheer bounty of a gracious God." God is gracious. God is worthy of praise. Humankind, not always. We make mistakes. We break rules and hearts and ignore good advice. We reject what is good sometimes. Sometimes we even reject God. But God remains. God remains good. God remains waiting. He's already accepted us. He already loves us. He's going to forgive us as we make change. John Wesley, the founder of our denomination, Methodism, called this kind of acceptance from God prevenient grace. It's God's patient love, a love that's waiting, a love that's wanting for us to accept it. Praise God for waiting so long and so patiently for so many of us. Today's sermon scripture is attributed to David. He was someone God loved, someone who God continued to love, even after he made bad choices. David did great things, and David made some bad mistakes. But God loved David. God loved him as a boy who slayed a giant. God loved him as a victorious king. God loved him as a man who means he made bad choices. God loved David as he sang, and God loved David as he arranged the death of an innocent man. God spoke to David through the prophets Nathan, Gad, and Samuel. The prophet Samuel said that God saw David as a man after his own heart. In Lamentations 3:22, it is written, "The Lord's faithful love does not end, and his mercies do not stop." God's love does not stop. We can't and we won't stop it, even when we make mistakes. God's love does not stop, even when we stop acting like we love God. God's love is without end, and there is always hope for us through God's abundant grace. If David committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba, and to hide that fact, to hide the pregnancy that came from that fact, David had Bathsheba's husband killed. And there were other things that David did or didn't do. His pride and his arrogance grew, and he refused to do what advisors and God asked him to. David thought that he knew best. But David, like us, doesn't always know what's best. And David's fall was great because of his mistakes. He and his family suffered because of those mistakes. But God still loved him. God still favored him. God continued to favor David because David always loved God. We can love someone and still do wrong by them. We can adore someone and make decisions that seemingly question our adoration. In the midst of David's human yearnings, he forgot what was right and what was wrong. With all his power, David forgot that the ultimate authority was not his own. We so often say that God will love us anyway. And when we say that, we will be right. We so often say that God will forgive us. And sometimes we say that again, and again, and again. And whenever we say that, no matter how many times we say that, we are right. After all, hearts are. After we learn from our mistakes and do our best to never make them again, after we put aside those things that caused us and others harm, and that is why God continued to favor David. David had an attitude adjustment. He refocused his heart. He repented and deeply regretted what he had done. David loved God, and he turned his life back toward God. He came to live his life in such a way that it gave glory to God and brought a humbleness to himself. God does not love us because we are perfect. God loves us because God is. Though we are incomplete, God loves us completely. Though we are imperfect, he loves us perfectly. God is worthy of praise. Through David's family came our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Through David's example, both extraordinary and flawed, comes an example of God's steadfast love. The love of God did not leave David, and it will never leave any of us. Psalm 17, 1 through 7, our sermon scripture, is attributed to David. David wrote the majority of psalms recorded in the Bible. And many of these psalms are joyful celebrations of God our Father. But not all of David's psalms celebrate God in the traditional sense of joyful praise. While he wrote many hymns of adoration, he also authored numerous songs of lament. In these, he expresses raw, unfiltered emotions like deep grief, fear, depression, and frustration. Our sermon scripture today is such a psalm. It's considered a personal prayer and a lament. It's an open conversation between a frightened David and our unconditionally loving and trustworthy God. David's confused. He doesn't get why people are out to get him. He's being persecuted, likely by King Saul and his subjects. It was jealousy that caused Saul to lash out at David. David fears for his life. He turns to God, who he knows he can trust. He begins his conversation in the evening, and he ends it in the morning. David's been up all night. He's been too stressed out to sleep. He's scared, and he's trying to understand. But things still don't make sense to him. You can almost hear David asking, why? Why are these things happening to me? I'm a good guy. I don't deserve this. God, David writes, though you examine me at night and test me, you will find that I have planned no evil. My mouth has not transgressed. He's done nothing wrong. He said nothing wrong. He hasn't even thought of doing anything wrong. David continues, the people tried to bribe me. I've kept myself from the ways of the violent, to what your lips have commanded. David admits that he's been tempted. Well, sure, he's been tempted. But even though other people's kids have done things wrong, this earthly mortal son of God has not. David assures his father in heaven that he's not like the other kids. He does everything that God tells him to do. My steps have held your paths, he said. My feet have not stumbled. David assures God, how do you do this thing? I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand, who take refuge in you from your foes. David said this as he was taking refuge from his foes. David made mistakes, but he loved God. He recognized that God is the right one to bring our troubles to, and that God is the only one who can fix all our problems. And even if the problems aren't fixed in the ways we hope them to, and even if the troubles we are trying to hide from find us, it is enough that we have God. It's enough to know that when we lay down and when we wake up again, there will be God, the source of all goodness, our protector and our friend, our ultimate vindicator by the proof of his love. David writes, as for me, I will be vindicated and will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. God, who first loved us and who will always love us, God is who listens and understands and provides for us. When I think of God, I think of God's love. I think of God's grace. I think of someone who I can't lay my head upon. Someone I can lean into, lower my shoulders, and sigh. Staying as long as I like, knowing that I am completely protected and completely loved. This is God, whose love is the greatest we'll ever know, who sent us God's Son, who suffered painful sacrifice for us. This is God, who is worthy of all praise. Thanks be to God. Amen.